Well, this morning we're going to go back into our teaching again and really dealing with in due time. It's really important. God's been really dealing with me about this area and stuff. And there's just different things that tie into it. The Thursday before, early in the morning, really early in the morning, the Lord started just going through scriptures. And all these scriptures started coming through me on different things and about these. We were teaching in the areas of being led by the Spirit. And see, all these things tie together. When we're dealing with the time we're in preparation, God always worked to prepare people for the time. But it's interesting, in Scripture, most people were never prepared for the time. The majority weren't. I mean, even God's covenant people were not ready for the time. And again, we're coming up on the end of a time here. There's an age and time that the church age is coming up on an end. And one of the things, in 1950, Jesus told Kenneth Hagin that many of his people are not going to be ready to meet him. He's coming. They're not going to be prepared for the time. Yet God is working in due season. He always works in plenty of time to get people ready. And see, when God started dealing, and think about it, I mean, Kenneth Hagin's ministry, when Kenneth Hagin was born, so let's go back to the beginning of the 1900s. We go back in, and we look back years and years ago. God brought him there, told his mother, Kenneth Hagin didn't know it till many years later, after he was in the ministry, that God spoke to her and told him, see, he said he was going to be the forerunner of Jesus' second coming. And in fact, told her to name him John. In which she didn't do that. It scared her, and her mom told her, when she told her mom about the visit she had from Jesus, she said, don't tell anybody. She said, people will think you're crazy. And the thing of his ministry was to get people ready for the return of Jesus Christ. That was what his call was, his ministry. And we need to understand what that ministry is about. It's like any ministry. We need to understand this. God gave him revelations from the scripture. If we look at the times that Jesus appeared to him, the majority of the times that Jesus appeared was to give him a specific revelation from scripture. See, we can look at Kenneth Hagin or people's ministries, and this is one thing. You know, there's too much ministry today that has gone, well, I shouldn't just say today, it's going on over the years. It's about people and personalities, and it's not about revelations. It's about peoples and personalities. It's about natural stuff. It's not revelations. And preparing us for the return of Christ was reintroducing revelation to the church. Jesus gave Kenneth Hagin revelations out of the scriptures for the church to get the church ready for his return. So as one of the things of it is the church has moved away from these revelations. They've moved away from them. They don't teach them much anymore. But these revelations were moved away from, yet these revelations were to get the church ready for his return. Now, many of these revelations, years and years before, the church had them. But over time have lost them. We're living in a lost age. We're living in an age where the revelations of the scripture are lost, and people are more interested in, and ministries are more interested in whatever's going on. You know, we're so interested in people keeping their cultures, and we're so interested in all this kind of stuff going on and sending people to hell. You know, most cultures are pretty hellish. And we're trying to save them when we ought to be blowing them up. The Bible gives us a culture and a way to live. The Christians shouldn't have one way to live in one country and another way because they have a culture. But we do that. And we do that. We love our cultures more than we do Christ. Oh, we say all this kind of stuff. But our cultures are so important to everything. And revelations aren't. And we need to come back the importance of revelation from the scripture, because really that's where the life is. That's where the place is to live. It's a preparation and a time. When we look in the scripture, they were talking about Jesus coming back at that time and being ready in the New Testament. Well, there's one thing about people that are always looking for it and ready. They're always going to be living right lives. People today, you won't find somebody that isn't looking for Jesus' return. They're not living right. They're not living a Christian life. They can say anything of what they believe. They're not living right. So what it does, it maintains you. You want to always live like you're ready to meet Jesus. You know, because you might miss it and get run over by a truck one day. Now, I know we're all perfect and just so spiritual. Nothing would ever happen to us. Ask how many Christians that stuff happened to them and they didn't expect them. Were good people, never expected it. Stuff happened. It wasn't God did it to them. But the devil came along and they had to meet Jesus. What was it? Were they ready? Were they ready to meet him? You know, we don't think about that kind of stuff. And we need to have this thing of getting ready to meet Jesus. You know, there's one thing as I've found out, the more you live toward the ready side of it, the more he reveals himself to you on this side. It's one thing, people who are not getting revelations today from Jesus and he ain't revealing much to them, they're not living right. Amen. I'm just telling you, it's the easiest thing to get God to show up. It's the easiest thing. And see, but we have teaching today that teaches you don't have to live right and you're saved and you're okay and you don't need to live. You can just live any old way and it's all going to work out. Well, you're not going to get any revelation doing that. God is not going to reveal himself. God don't reveal himself like that. Understand this, we as believers, God expects more out of us than he does the world. We shouldn't be pointing the finger at the world. The finger ought to be pointed at the church. The church ought to be pointing the finger at themselves. God is expecting a lot more out of us than he does the world. You know, we can't complain what they live up to when we live in less than what we know, a lot less than what we know has been revealed to us. And so we need to. And this is dealing with preparation and time. Now, we want to know this. It isn't about just somebody living and being just the most perfect person in the world and doing everything so right. We're going to look at this morning because when we look at today-wise and the things that are going on, and, you know, we rightfully so, we sing songs and stuff about the birth of Christ and how exciting it was, but it wasn't an exciting time. It was a dangerous time when these things happened. It was a lousy time. Anybody complaining about living in America today ain't got a clue what it is to live bad. You know, we talk today and we say, oh, about our cities and stuff and all the crime and stuff and things that goes on. You ain't seen nothing like it was in times. In those times have passed. You ever read the histories of those things? Are phenomenal of what went on. And see, we talk about so bad and so terrible, and I mean, we're just such a discomforted people. Living in our warm houses, eating more food than we need, and so we've got all the comforts and everything, got cars and all kinds of stuff, heat, air conditioning, and everything else, and we're suffering for Jesus. Yes. I'll tell you, there's nothing matter with having nice stuff. But being, you know, Mike talked about being thankful. If anything that Christianity is not thankful. They're not that. There are a lot of things, but thankful people, they're not. You know, I'm still rather be born here than Mexico. I'd rather be here than born in a lot of places around. And see, people turn around. You know, why are people, all these nations, trying to get into America? Why are they trying to get here? Mexico can't be a great place. They're all trying to get up here. Want to keep our culture. Why would you want to keep your culture? You made it a mess down there with your culture. You want to bring it here and have a mess with your culture. Oh, boy, this thing gets touchy. This gets touchy. But we need to. We need to understand. But see, living complaints and that stuff, I ain't got, you know, we need to live a life of thankfulness. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving toward God. Hallelujah. And so, praise God. You know, God still wants to bless us. But we're going to look at it this time. I'm going to go over to Luke, the first chapter. We're going to read some things here just to bring out some certain things that we need to know about God in his dealing with people. Because during this time period, God had for years had been preparing his people. One of the things that I find this interesting, and this is why it's like, I don't always know what people they call theologians, because I'm not a theologian, but I can read, and I can look up meanings of words, and I wonder if theologians can. But people talk about they always, I don't know if you've heard this said, it's in theology and people teach it and you hear it all the time. They talk about, well, the Old Testament, it ended with Malachi, and it's like, they say then they were silent for all these years. There was silence and there was not silence. There was prophets after Malachi. We know there was a prophetess in the temple when Jesus was taken in as a baby. There were prophets. They just hadn't written stuff down or whatever it is. And that stuff we didn't get recorded. And but God was talking to people. My words, we talked about last week, the wise men, what they called wise men at that time, and those guys, but God got a hold of them. God was getting a hold of people. He just, one of the things of it is, the silence was is because the ministry got so far off base. God couldn't talk there. God couldn't talk to the ministry. And he couldn't talk through most of the ministry. That's what happened. See, they got over, and whether we like it or not today, these patterns have not changed. God can't talk through a lot of the ministry today. Oh, ministry's talking. I'm telling you that. They're talking. But God's not talking through them. God told me some time back, he said, I wish they'd get a little more silent. Because people are talking. They're talking men's wisdom, men's ideas, men's thinking on stuff. What's God thinking? What's God trying to push ahead? See, God's moving toward this thing to bring the Messiah into the earth. He wants to bring the Messiah into the earth. And everybody has their way of thinking. It's just like you and I all have our way of thinking about things. This always amazes me as I get my way of thinking about something. God will start to talk to me about it. And I think, dear Lord, he ain't thinking at all like I'm thinking about that. He has a totally different idea. So it's good to go with his ideas. But we can, you know, this is just the way we're made. We will build and form an opinion or an idea based on the information we have, based on the things of how we know things go on. Well, I learned this a long time ago. When it comes to the Bible, I don't know all that's going on. And so we need help. This is we're being led by the Spirit. We need God's input into our thinking, and we don't. We're raised in cultures and ways of life and ways of thinking, and we just follow along with a lot of that. And when we look at Scripture, we just dump it right in with our stuff and just turn around and put it right in along with that, and we do it. And so lots of times, and it's not being bad or mean or anything or trying to go against God, but we're just as a people, we do that. And many times it's easy to bypass God and what God's thought are on certain things. You know, certain things don't matter what you believe about, but there's some things that are just downright important. You better be believing the right thing. And so we want to get around when God's moving, and we're in a very important time in the history of humanity. Right now we're in a hugely important time, but not to most humanity. It's not that important. We just have all kinds of other things we think are important. We think all these election stuff and everything is so darn important. We think all this stuff is important. Our political figures, they're way off base on what's important. They're way off base. I'm not saying to criticize them. But when it's an easy thing to do. You get away from the Word of God. You get away from things of God. And it's easy to get over. And you'll start following whatever it is going on in our little old cultures. And we're following it and thinking. And, you know, we have today is the news media. There's so much as you hear. There's so much what they call, we're living in an information age. No, we're not. We're living in a stupid age. Filled with dumb information, things, half the stuff we shouldn't be listening to. You know, you watch today what they call news. It is not news. It's opinions of men. It's what people think about the news. They don't tell you there was a car accident. They're going to tell you what they think, why it happened. Yet they didn't know. They weren't even there. But they're going to give you their idea. And you have to sit and listen to that. They don't just tell you, no, there's an accident out there. And they have to give you their opinions. And this is what we have. We have all these things on the 24-hour news, panels of people telling you what they think. And you know what? We don't even think about it. I mean, you watch these people and they're the conservatives. They miss it as much as the liberals do. They'll tell you all this different stuff and it don't turn out that way at all. You find out when the answer finally comes, it wasn't that way at all. But they'll give their opinions of why this, why the inflation, why Biden made this certain decision. I believe he made it because of this. That always cracks me up. You know, he might have just done it because he's a nut. You know, but they have to throw theirs. And all they do is they show how stupid they are. But people are buying this stuff from these people. The opinions. I am glad. This is one thing about God. God doesn't have opinion. He has truth. I know. If he's going to reveal to me, he's going to reveal to me what is true, not his idea on the subject, but what he knows is truth. And that truth I can stand on. Truth you can stand and walk by faith on, but you can't with opinions of men. You can't. You can't walk on it. Well, we want to find out what's going on here. I'm going to read in Luke, the first chapter. I'm going to start in verse 5. It says, therefore, there was in the days of Herod, he said, the king of Judah, he said, there was a certain priest, his name was Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in age. So it was that while he was serving as a priest before God in the order of his division according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled. Said, and fear fell upon him. The angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Now, I want to stop there. He goes on and tells about John and what the angel tells him directly, what the Lord, in other words, this is the angel of the Lord. He speaks to him. This is Gabriel. Speaks to him and tells him about what's going on. I want you to see something that we find that is very interesting. This angel came in an answer to prayer. It was about an answer. He said, you're going to get your prayer answered. One of the things you'll always find, I always found very interesting, you follow scriptures, and people, lots of times that God was going to use for special things, lots of times couples couldn't have children. I often find that people say, well, you know, God had a reason in it. It wasn't God. God wasn't trying to keep them from. God's the one to let them have kids. But people always like to make up things. They always have those things. Well, God's in control. So anyhow, but why would they be, God didn't want her to have a kid. What were they doing praying for a baby? Well, they couldn't have prayed by faith if God didn't want them to have one. If God was holding out, how could you pray by faith to have one? If you read and study the Old Testament, you find this, that one of the things, it was a curse for a woman not to be able to produce a child. It wasn't a blessing. It wasn't looked on like it was something wonderful to happen to you. You know, to have children was a great blessing for them. So to have a child, and here they are, they're praying. This is a very interesting thing. So the angel comes along and tells Zacharias. Now we want to find this. Going into this, we found out about them, from their condition. He says in verse 6, remember it said that they were both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless, it says. Now, we're going to find this out. They weren't perfect. Now, this is different to being righteous and being perfect. See, this is one of the things that most of the average Christian don't understand at all. They're trying to be perfect. Well, you ain't ever going to be perfect, so get over yourself. It ain't going to ever happen. But you can walk righteous. God's interested in living in righteousness, not being perfect, because to his expectation, for if you're perfect, you're going to be like God. You'll be God. My words, what would you need him for? We're not from this side. And we're going to find out about these people. We're going to find out about Zechariah. You know, they're not perfect. They're righteous. They're walking in the light that they have. They're walking in. In other words, walking in the light. You're righteous before God. Our righteousness is by faith. You know, faith is a walk. It's a way you live. See, we teach that faith is a confession. I'm sorry. The New Testament teaches it's a way you walk. It says we live by faith. Didn't say we just talk by faith. We live by it. See, we need to get over teaching the full gospel. Need to start teaching the full gospel. It'd be good. It'd be good we did. We want to walk by faith. This is an important thing. See, walking by faith. In other words, you're trusting in God. What would you need to trust God if you're perfect? What would you need to trust? You know, we trust God. The reason we trust God in our walk is because we're not in perfection, but yet I can live and walk righteously by faith. Amen. I'm trusting Him. I'm not trusting me. That's a job you want to give up. That's a job you don't want to keep, because you're always going to become disappointed in yourself. That's going to happen. You become disappointed. But you'll never be disappointed in God. You walk by faith. And so this is what they're doing. What they know and understand, they're under the law. And these people under the law are walking in the knowledge that they have, and they're walking in faith with God and His word that they have of their covenant. And God said they're righteous. So it's interesting, because his writing, if you read the first chapter, the first verses of this chapter, you'll see that Luke wrote this. In Luke's writing this, he was writing about, really, he was giving a synopsis of actually in order of how things happened in the category, in specific order of how things took place. So in writing this thing, he's writing some things here. So in other words, God's saying they were righteous. So Luke wrote down that they were righteous. So God's opinion was, well, they're righteous. That's the right opinion. That's the one you want. You want God's opinion on righteousness. Not a righteousness by performance, because you might have good performance one day, but next day you may not, or the day you may do good for a lot of time, but along the way, we miss it here and there. Sometimes we don't intentionally miss it. We miss it just because of lack of knowledge. We miss it. Then you find out later on, oh, I should have known different. I didn't know different. And I found out different. I wasn't exactly like I should. That didn't make you unrighteous. That means you had lack of knowledge. Is anybody here, you know it all? We'll have an altar call for liars, get you saved immediately, get you back in fellowship with God. My good. Because it is. We all have lack of knowledge. And I find out, you know, as you go along, I'll find out, man, I didn't know about that at all. There's certain things that, you know, you don't know about things, and you get revelation. But see, that don't make you unrighteous. See, this faith walk. So he was in this condition because we want to see something about him, which we need all to just help us. We're walking as best we can. We're going along. But now, listen, when we go down to, I'm going to skip down to verse 18 here, because this is interesting. They were praying about this. And then the angel says, and Zacharias said to the angel, now the angel told him, say, hey, you're going to have a kid. You've been praying about this. Now you're going to have a kid. And here goes Zacharias. And Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. Now, how am I going to know this? See, we've been praying for a kid, but we can't have them. Hold it, this is a righteous man praying. Are you a righteous person and sometimes you prayed in unbelief? That didn't make you mean you're unrighteous. You just got a little dumb. Sometimes we get dumb, don't we? So he goes, hold it, we're old, this ain't going to work. An angel, now look, he's got an angel standing in front of him. See, everybody gets this crazy idea, if I have a vision, a dream, or I have this, I'm going to become spiritual. Get a life. The Bible's full of people who got dumber. That's not what makes you righteous. That's not what makes it work. Because we see here an angel stands in front. He knows it's an angel. And the angel says, your wife's going to have a kid. He goes, how can that be? We're old. But isn't this amazing? God responded to their prayer. God responded to their prayer. Well, we know he missed it. I don't know. The wife might have still been in faith. She gets a kid. Now, this wasn't an immaculate conception. These old folks had to be having sex to have a kid. Is that right? Yeah. See, there's still time things that are our part we still got to do. You know, many people, you need to learn this kind of stuff. Many people are asking God, never doing their part. You see, we don't know how much praying they were doing at the time, but they were praying and believing God, and God responded to their prayer. That don't mean they had prayed yesterday about it. They may have been praying that for a number of years beforehand. God responded. There's one thing, is I remember the Lord showed me. Book of Revelation talks about the prayers of the saints on the altar of God that are in vials, and it says they're poured out into the earth, the prayers of the saints. Do you ever think about your prayers? See, people say, if God don't answer my prayer in the next 10 minutes, well, then he's not responding. Well, he may not respond today. But our prayers don't go unheard. Amen. See, I'm sure when they were young, they were praying about this kid thing. God hadn't forgotten. On the altar, their prayers were still in the vials to be fulfilled. This is what happens to Christians. Christians get into unbelief and then run their big mouths and their prayers don't come to pass. They destroy the vial at the altar. That's good preaching, folks.
Hallelujah.
See, we need to, when you, faith is eternal. It don't quit. What's done in faith remains. The only thing that can tear it up is me. I'm the only one. My prayers, God ain't going to tear my prayers out. God ain't throwing my prayers out. It's up to me. What did I do with my mouth? When things didn't seem to be turning out like what I thought, and then I started opening my mouth, I started saying things and started running my mouth. And I said, oh, I should have left alone and let that in the vial. Because God will answer prayers of faith. Hallelujah. See, you know, like today, people talk about, well, you want people raised from the dead. Well, that means they have to die. Did you quit when the person died that you were... No, but we need to understand, where's our faith at? How far does our faith go? See, remember Jesus coming along and the woman with the issue of blood. Here was a leader of the synagogue, Jairus. He comes along, hey, Jesus, if you come over to my house, you lay your hands on my daughter, she won't die, she's going to live. He goes, okay, let's go to your house. And then there was a woman with the issue of blood stopped it along the way. A guy came down through after the woman with the issue of blood said, don't bother the master anymore, she died. Jesus said, hold it. He said to Jairus, you only believe. See, he told Jairus, but you don't change. If I go there, she lives. See, you don't change. I see people do this all the time. They run to a situation and it don't seem like it's working out. They change their prayer and they throw everything out the window they said they were believing. You don't change.
Hallelujah.
Situations shouldn't change our prayers.
Amen.
Situations aren't supposed to change our prayers. We do this all the time. Because what does he do? Jesus goes to the house and you read the scriptures. He treats her like she's alive. He goes and tells the people that are all out there mourning. He goes, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. Well, we know Luke's writing tells us she was dead because it said her spirit came back to her. So she was actually physically dead. But Jesus went along with Jairus' words that were on the altar. The words that were on the altar. He went after the words on the altar. Don't change the words on the altar. Don't change the words of faith. Don't change it. This is what happens to people all the time. Faith people complain it ain't working, and the whole time it was working, and they're the ones that stopped it from working, and they say, God did it. God didn't do that. God didn't do that. And it was them the whole time. They did it. Now, I learned some of these things the hard way. You don't have to. You can listen to what I tell you. You won't have to. But see, people, when situations change, I watch people begin to change their prayers. I see people like this, they'll turn around and believe in God concerning healing, and all of a sudden a doctor gives them a bad report, and they start changing their prayer according to the report of the doctor. And now they just threw out all their faith beforehand, and they started a new thing. And all they got to do, the devil knows that. He's going to change a situation so he can get you to throw your faith out. So you jump on a new boat. And you're going to do it. And you start. And after a while, ain't nothing working. You see, I've never heard, actually, I haven't heard teaching around on this subject. I was taught young. The Lord showed me these things in scriptures. And I found out, he talked to me about why people miss it. Because I'd ask it. Why? You know, things happen. I wanted to know why. Why? What happened with things? What? I want to know. Because see, sometimes things didn't work out for me like I wanted to. I want to know why. I'm not one of these people I don't beat dead horses. What's the point? I ain't going to play some dead horse game, out here, act like I'm believing something and nothing ever works, and then I just go out here and, go, you're dumb enough to do that. I've learned this is, there's something I don't know. There's things I don't understand. There's things I need to know. There's things and I started asking God about these. He started taking me these things in scriptures and started to show them to me. Show me what's going on. I never heard anybody ever teach before on the fact till I heard the Holy Ghost teach me concerning Jairus. But Jesus said, hey, only believe. In other words, you don't move off what you've been believing. You said, if I come there, I'm going to lay hands on her and she's going to live. He got in the house and he laid hands on her and she lived, didn't she? He said, you don't change it. You don't change. You keep it where it's at. Only believe. So he didn't tell him, oh, you need to say a new prayer. You need to start believing I can raise her from the dead now. See, he was in faith. Jairus totally believed that Jesus laid hands on her. And Jesus is going to go fulfill that, what he's believing. Jesus is going to fulfill that. Jesus will go for to fulfill your faith if you'll stand and not be moved because of time and things changed. But if you're a person who is impatient, everything got to go for me. Just, you know me. You know me, it's got to work all out. See, we can do those kinds of things, but hallelujah. But we see this guy here. What does he have? How am I going to know? We're old. So the angel says that the angel answered, said to him, I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. Weren't the tidings good enough? Nope. I need a sign. This ain't enough. But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day those things take place. In other words, I got to keep your big mouth shut so we can do this. Hey, come on, people. Really? That's what he said. Look, we're going to keep your mouth shut. You don't need to be talking anymore. There's enough been said by you. Oh, so there's times I should have been mute. How about you? Come on. There's a lot of times we should have been mute. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey, but we're righteous by faith. Glory to God. That don't change. We've been dumb, but we're righteous by faith, so we can't be too dumb. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're still righteous by faith. So we just keep walking by faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he couldn't speak until the child was born. Hallelujah. So for 9 months, his wife had a reprieve. She got a break. Hallelujah. Things are looking good now. The boy can't talk. Hallelujah. We can't say something now. Hallelujah. Things are looking up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I think Wanda would agree with that. I'm sure she may have prayed along that line. Lord, do you have to let him talk? But don't worry, us guys have thought the same things, ladies. Hallelujah. Learn to laugh at yourself because you are funny looking. Hallelujah. So, but understand, now here's a person who's righteous. In other words, God wasn't interested in people because they were perfect. I mean, the fact that it is, this is the forerunner of Jesus Christ and God chose him. You know, it's interesting because you find like with Kenneth Hagin. I mean, God chose this woman, had this child, his dad left when they were young. I mean, he's raising a family. He's on his way dying. He's the youngest child. I mean, they don't have any money and they ain't got nothing. And one of the things he talks about, his mom was very prideful. His mom came from a wealthy family, but she would not ask for help. She wouldn't, and the kids were suffering terrible. Kids were suffering terrible and that stuff. She wouldn't ask for help. And finally she went and moved in with them finally. And I mean, they were very kind to take them in. They were surely done it. But, pride does come before destruction. Sometimes you got to humble yourself in things. So, but anyhow, and she did. But I tell you, when you look at the background and what it came through and that stuff and things that happened and people that God uses for things that God does, it sure isn't because always that everything was that they picked the person at the top. You know, if you and I would just think about this a second. If you would have been God and decided what you were going to do to announce the Messiah and do, well, I'm going to tell you, in America, you'd have just got the marching band out. You'd have just got everything in the world and we'd have got on, Facebook to tell everybody and we would have, done everything we could to all the announcement. God did none of that. God didn't come to the big, he didn't run to the big boys to tell them. He didn't do that. See, this is one of the things that God's been showing me, is we need this wisdom. Of God, don't do things like man does them. God wants to humble man. And we're so full of pride, he can't show up to people that, you know, this is why, if you study church history, there's no big revivals ever came through big ministries. Why? Because they start getting big-headed. People, and it's not only their fault, it's people. Because people follow the big guy. They don't follow the big guy, God. They're always following some, who's popular, who's this, who's that. They're following that. They go ahead and do that. That's not, God's not going to glorify men in that way. He doesn't. Any major revival that's ever come along in the history of the church, God pulled out people that were nobodies, brought them out, and did wonderful things through them. And you know what? Like, especially, one of the classes that I had in Bible school was called the Charismatic Perspective. And what they did is they taught on the ministries and what happened to those, the people, the 1950s. And most all of those ministers all died prematurely. And their whole problem was, most of them came out of obscure backgrounds. I mean, they were nobodies, nothings, but they loved God. And God pulled them out, anointed them, and some of those people did some of the most phenomenal miracles. They did stuff going on through those people. I mean, during the healing revivals, I mean, those people would go weeks and weeks and weeks of ministry and just phenomenal miracles every night. I mean, just demonstrations of the Holy Ghost would blow your mind. And ended up dying. I mean, A.A. Allen, God moved him powerfully, ended up dying a drunk in a hotel out in Arizona. He died from alcohol poisoning. A man that God used absolutely powerful. What happened? They get over into things of this and see, you know, God uses me. So, you know, I'm not as accountable to things as you poor peons are. I'm going to tell you what, anybody, you'll have the tendency to do that. When you get into a place where you become popular, or if you get in those places, I'll guarantee you, you'll start thinking you're something special. You got to learn to fight that. You got to learn you ain't special. See, this is what today, it's hard to deal with in America, because we all we do teaches our kids from they're little, they're special, and they ain't. They're just kids. And they grow up to be little knuckleheads. They ain't nothing special other than you want to get rid of that special little thing. Weren't special. You know, my parents never taught us that we were special. We were just kids. You know, they loved us and that stuff. They expected things out of us and things like that. But we weren't this special that, you know, you're just so special. Yes, you're this. Well, you could grow up to be the president. Well, none of us did. I mean, they got all these people that, oh, you can grow up to anything you want. No, you can't. We actually, stupid people actually believe that. What's God called you to? What God called me to minister, if I'd grow up to be anything I wanted, I'd be in rebellion against God. See, we have all this. It's in the Christian schools and everything. They teach this. We don't teach obedience to God. Find out, what's God have planned with my life? What's God want me to be? You know, if God wants me to be a businessman or just work, I'm going to be the best at it. I'm going to work. I let God's anointing work in me and whatever. That's the will of God for me. And if the world is going to hear, they need somebody who's obedient for God, not somebody who's chosen their own life. When I accepted Jesus, I gave up my life. We don't teach that stuff today. We teach, receive Jesus so you can get what you want. So I can have what I want. I can have all the toys I want. I can have all the stuff I want. That's not what it is. No, I want to find out, where's my spot? You know, it's... You know, maybe God's called me to drive a garbage truck. Maybe he did that. Maybe he'll bless me in that place and give me a good life through that thing. And if whatever he wants me, God, what do you want me to do? You know, I'll never forget. Before I got saved, I didn't like working at races. I worked at races, didn't like it. I got saved and I said, God, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to stay at races for a while. You just stay there. And I'll tell you what, I got it where I liked it. Because I said, this is the will of God. This is my place of milk and honey. This is where the place God said I was supposed to be. He has to bless me here. And he did. He blessed me there. And you know what? I got where I liked it. Why? Because it's the will of God. Amen. See, we don't teach these things. No, we got all this. No, you grow up, you're all going to go to college and become, you know, sinners and live like hell and do it. Because nobody asked God if they were supposed to ever go. No. That's the trend of society. And man, I could get thrown out of big ministries preaching like this. Yes, It's finding the will of God. You know, I often thought about Mike, you know, God spoke to Mike about his jobs and where he, you know, walked in different things that he did. Finding out, where am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? You know, God sent him into some hard stuff. You know, when you got over there, God wanted him to move up the ladder, and he was sort of happy where he was, you know, because his other's really hard. But God said, I want you to go more. I want you to do more. So God took him, and it was, but see, it's what God, you want to do the will of God.
That's right.
We don't think about that anymore. People who sit in the pew anymore, no, it's always the preacher supposed to do the will of God. No, it's everybody, all of us. Where do I belong? What am I supposed to be in? This is why so many people are so discomforted today. Even Christians can't stay on jobs, can't stay anywhere. I'm going to tell you what, God's going to put you someplace for a while to prove you out. People that always move and jump into something else, they're out of the will of God. You're going to be proved faithful at something. And he's going to put you at something you may not be happy with. And there, you know what you're going to go there? You need to go there and shut your mouth and love it because God sent me here. God said, put me in this spot, and I tell you, he's going to bless me here. You know, when I came to London, God started the church. When he told me to start the church, when I finally decided I was going to obey. And I said this is my place of milk and honey. This is the place you have to bless me. You have to. This is the place of milk and honey for me. So you have to bless me here. And I said, I'll be blessed. It doesn't matter. I don't need a crowd of people to be blessed. I will be blessed by my obedience, not by how many people follow.
That's right.
Oh, that's what God's looking for. God's looking for people who will just do his will, whatever might. And he'll bless you in whatever he's put you in. He'll bless you there. If God's put it in you to be, you take that place no matter what it looks like, no matter what it is. Doesn't matter. I know what to be exalted, and I know what it is to be abased. Oh, we don't want to go to that one, do we? No, we just want to know exaltation. I'll tell you, you'll never be worth anything. You won't be worth spit exalted if you can't be abased and enjoy
That's
it too.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Preach.
Whew. None of this is in my notes, but it's good preaching anyhow. Hallelujah. It's good preaching, folks. Hallelujah. Why? Because God wants to pour out his spirit. You know, God wants keepers in these last days. He don't want flash in the pan. He wants people that he can anoint till Jesus comes back. He don't want people just do, you know, and this is what we had. It's such a shame. It's often troubled me when we went through the teachings and stuff in Bible school about the ministries and what happened to these ministers. I've often felt saddened by it because all these wonderful gifts that God gave, and they were only for a short time and it wasn't designed that way. Gee, there was only a few handful of ministers who came out of that, who went on in ministry to go over and live into an old age. You know, Kenneth Hagin was one of them, but Oral Roberts and some of the others, there were some others, but there's loads of them. They never made it out much out of the 50s and by the early 60s, they're all dead. What? They're gifts of God to the church, and we lose them? Do you ever think what God called you to is a gift of God to the church? Or is it just about me? See, this is what people get on. It's about my success, about me getting ahead. It's about, no, you're a gift of God to the church. You're a part of the body. Every part is worth, every part that takes its place of where it's supposed to be is in the will of God. Whether if it's a guy that sits at a president of a corporation or the guy who's pushing a broom in that corporation. If they're doing the will of God, it's a blessing to the body. You know, we need wonderful, good Christians at the bottom of the totem pole so other people can see somebody who can live godly at the bottom of the totem pole.
Amen.
Most people can only, they'll live something if I can be at the top. I'll tell you what, if you ain't happy at the bottom, I hope you never get to the top. I pray you never get to the top because you're going to be a reproach and you're going to be a pain to everybody there with your whining and complaining. See, that's what I was before I got saved. And I learned to be a blessing to the company that I worked for. I learned God taught me to be a blessing to them. It wasn't a blessing to get promoted. I was a blessing because it was my call to be a blessing there at that place. That's what I was called for. Hallelujah. That's the place God put me. I'll never forget when the Lord told me I was supposed to go to Raymond. I said to him, well, I'm just as happy at Reese's. I'll just stay there. If you say stay here, Lord, I'll stay. Well, I'd never said that some years before. He'd have said, leave, and man, we'd have been go out the door. We ain't left yet. Me and Speedy Gonzalez would have been gone. Hallelujah. But see, it's learning. And one of the things that God taught me is to humble myself. I had to learn to humble. I said, that wasn't necessarily fun or easy. I had to learn to humble myself before some really bad supervision over that we had. But I had to learn to humble myself. I had to learn to humble myself under them, let them be the leaders, and me quick not bucking the system all the time. I learned to do that. Amen. And you know what? As I learned to do it, God exalted me and blessed me more and more and more. And you know what? He manifested himself through me more and more. The more I did, the more I yielded. See, when the Lord told me, before I left Reese's, you heard me say, he said, you know, because I was faithful with others, he was going to put me above in ministry. Faithful with others. It wasn't just in ministry. Faithful with others. Places I worked, I was faithful. I was a good worker. Did what I was supposed to do, whether it seemed to promote me or not. Didn't matter. Proven out. See, you want to be where God can use you. He can talk to you. He can reveal things to you. This is what we're looking for today. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to look on in this here. Darlene read this morning from the last part of that, but I want to talk about Mary some here because we see a difference between the two here, where an angel appears to Mary, and we need to see because there's a difference in what happens here between the two. But we want to go on and look sort of in Mary's life. Why? Because we're going to find out here. God chooses this young woman as a virgin. Let me just say this. You know, people talk about, and I hear ministers saying, you know, that she married a guy and this young couple. I don't think they were a young couple. You know, we know Joseph died. The Bible don't tell us, and we don't know exactly. But we know Joseph is gone, is out of the scene. Lots of times in those days, if you study the history of things, you'll find out that a lot of young women were married to older men. And one of the reasons why, because it was a hard life in Judea in those days. It was not easy living in there. And they were up in the areas of Nazareth is where they were, and then going down to Judea. Because in that, with the Roman Empire, I think things weren't easy. An older man would have been able to take care of a woman. He'd been more experienced in life. And lots of times younger women were given to older men in marriage by the family. Because what the family usually looked at is somebody can take care of them. They want somebody to take care of their kid. Today, Christians will just give their kids right off to somebody that's Mr. Hell or Mrs. Hell. And they'll just hand them off. Say, oh, they want to get married. We love one another. Yeah. And they couldn't take care of each other or anybody else for save their life. Good preaching in. My God, we're into it now. But they did. He was probably an older man. But it was one thing, the reason one of the things I really believe is an older man, because he had wisdom. Because of what goes along, you're dealing with he's betrothed to be married to this woman, and she ends up pregnant. And he wants to put her away quietly. It says, you know, he comes along, he wants to quietly put her away. A young guy would have been so mad because, my God, she cheated on me! She embarrassed me, so I'm going to embarrass her. He was on Facebook. And Twitter. I'm sure. And what, TikTok too. He made a video. We got to humiliate everybody. You know, we got to do it good. And, cause this guy, he looked at, I mean, this, we understand this isn't like living in America. A girl's pregnant, not married? I mean, today the church will cheer somebody that isn't married and gets pregnant. You know, God still loves them. Yeah, but I'm going to tell you what, it's going to cost him in life. It's going to cost. You know, God forgive you of anything, but don't mean it ain't going to cost you what you did. We don't teach it's a sin anymore. Oh, God loves you. We just bypass that sin part. And then their offspring comes and does the same thing. It just goes on and on and on. Nobody deals with it. And there's no righteous lives. And God has a hard time finding somebody to pick. To today, we've run it so far that you don't even have to repent anymore. You don't need to do that. You don't have to do that. Not good. Not good. But anyhow, so I really admire Joseph. I admire Joseph because I'm going to tell you what, God knew what he was doing. And picking, if he's going to pick a couple, he wants to do something. As number one, God could not have brought Jesus through a married woman. He don't commit adultery. Amen. He couldn't have done that. God did what he did through a virgin. But I admire Joseph, and his part. I tell you what, I believe in heaven, he's greatly rewarded. I believe he's greatly rewarded for what he did. Hallelujah. And so, praise God. But we want to look at this fact is the Virgin Mary, who, this young woman, and, one of the things I admire, you know, about her, you know, it says, the angel comes along and tells her, and we go down through the thing and speaks to her. I'm not going to read through the whole thing, but he speaks to her concerning having this birth. Now, I'm going to tell you, this got to be, you know, we find out. Now, I doubt very much if she was praying about this would happen to her. It's number one, you need to notice the will of God might bring a lot of trouble into your life. Now, we don't like to think that way, but I'm going to tell you what, the will of God brought a lot of trouble in this girl's life. Oh, you know, we have all the paintings and stuff that were made back, you know, in yonder and then all the glowing over her head and everything like that. Well, it wasn't glowing over her head. I bet you she thought after this thing happened and what's going on, you know, now you got to, here you are pregnant in a society that, man, this is terrible. Under law, she could be stoned. Woo, isn't this exciting? And you got all these Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and everybody else in town. I mean, my word, you get all these religious people. We know Jesus going around the synagogues and healing just upset them terrible when it was done on the Sabbath. I mean, they just couldn't take it. What would they do under this circumstances? I mean, this is like we sing these songs today of the glory of, yeah, the glory of Jesus, but what about them? What about them? Thank God for people who were obedient. Now, this is Mary's response when the angel tells her this. I don't know if she wanted to recant it later or not. We don't have. She may want to, but she may. Mary said to the angel, how can this be since he said, I do not. She said, I don't know a man. And said, and the angel, this is 34, in verse 35, it says, the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And now listen up, down to 38. And she didn't know how to be. The angel said, well, first 37, the angel says, for with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Little different than the praying guy, the praying priest. She just stops and says, well, whatever your word says, it's okay. She said, she's a handmaid of the Lord. In other words, see, you understand, there's things that God can't call people to until they are submitted to God. See, she's submitted, you know, she's married to God. She's God's maidservant. She said, I'm God's maidservant. If you want to do this, it's okay. See, you could find out a bit of the type of person she was. She's under a covenant. See, God could have never bought somebody outside the covenant. He had to bring somebody who was inside the covenant, who definitely from her standpoint, she's righteous before God. And she has it here, and she's the handmaid. In other words, hey, I'm here. I'm okay. Whatever you want of me, you can have. I'm yielded to you. You're my Lord. So she's hooked to God. She's hooked to God. And she just says, yep, whatever you want, it's fine with me. And the angel goes. He don't have to go on and talk to her like he did with the priest, you know, trying to talk the religious guy into believing in his praying. Because now look, this guy, they were praying for a child. This is like cold. Angel shows up and she's hearing this for the first time. Gee. How would you respond hearing? See, I'm sure people think about, well, this thing really sounds neat and really sounds like something. But we want to find this out about Mary. Because we want to find, Mary wasn't perfect at all. From the standpoint that we would call perfection. We'd think, you know, she had this encounter. And, we need to understand what they suffered. I mean, they turned around and have the child. They got to, angel has to get them out of town, out of Bethlehem, to go to Egypt. They come back from Egypt. They end up having to go back up to Nazareth. They go up. Here you got, she has all this. This ain't like you can sit down with the ladies club and all of you sit around and talk about this birth thing you had, about what all is going on. Your husband can't go around telling, say, you know, that my, the oldest kid in the family ain't mine. Who's it? Well, God said it was his, so we don't know. I don't know. How did it happen? I don't know. See, all we know is how you have sex and have kids. How does this happen? We don't know. Don't worry. There's no virgin births a day. People say they do. Yeah. Good luck on that one. But anyhow, I want you, here's what Jesus said, and we want to find out, and it turned out it was absolutely, it was the truth. Jesus made this statement in Mark 6:4. When he went to Nazareth to preach, they didn't accept it there, and he made this statement. In Mark 6:4, he said, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and among his own relatives in his own household. You know, Jesus wasn't accepted in his own household in his ministry. Now, isn't that something? You think, Mama, but do you know his mama never followed his ministry while he was in the earth? She never followed his ministry. You see, Jesus broke culture, and that's a hard thing. Well, people, I'm going to tell you what, people love Jesus till it comes to their culture. You see, it was the custom of the Jews. This was a custom. It wasn't God. It was the custom. The eldest son, if the father died, took care of mom. He would have stayed home, and he would have run everything. That's what he would have done. He was the eldest. He didn't. He went out, obeyed God. Oh, there's a lot of Christians. They don't want their kids obeying God. You stay where I can keep a hold of you. You stay around where I can rule over. You know, we have customs. You know, don't get out there too far. But he went out in ministry, and he wasn't accepted by his own relatives. I know what that's like. You know, I say I'm the youngest in a family, you know, and Ed ain't, you know, you don't pay no attention to him. See, he's we're all older and know a lot. I never bothered me. That never bothered me in the least. They always funny. I don't care if they like me or I don't like it or what. I don't care at all. You got nothing to do. I don't lose a week of sleep over it. Don't pray 2 seconds about it. Don't bother me at all. But they all know this. I like God better than I do them. And ain't that I hate them, Mom? I don't hate them. But you know, that there, God comes before them. It ain't family first. Most people that are family first is that it's exactly what it is. God comes somewhere, maybe in 10th place down someplace. Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry, with me, it's God first. And you know what? You do wonders for your family by following God first.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's how it works. I've learned that. When God told me, because I obeyed him and walked where I was supposed to and did what he said, I'm going to bring you all your brothers and sisters into the kingdom. See, I don't. They don't have to like me here. They're not going to go to heaven together. They'll like me a lot there. We're going to get along just fine when we get to heaven. Hallelujah. See, everybody's trying to save everybody here. I tell you, the number one thing you can do to save other people, you follow God.
Amen.
Not follow family. Follow God. Follow God. Do what God says. You see, that was one of the problems. See, Jesus, in Matthew, the 12th chapter, we find an incident happens here. That Jesus, what happened? The Pharisees got over and they were saying, they're out there talking, this Jesus guy, he's got a devil. He does what he does by the devil. See, he's getting a lot. Jesus is getting in trouble. He gets down to Judea and he gets in trouble down there. They had a lot of problems because they don't like it down there. They don't like him down there. And he says, but anyhow, in Matthew 12, it goes on to talk about this. It says in verse 46, it says, while he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and his brother stood outside seeking to speak to him. See, they're outside. They ain't in the group. They're outside. They come. We want to talk to you. We don't hang out with this group. No, this is not the customs. we don't do this as our customs. It says, then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. But he and I, can you imagine? I'll tell you, Mama was probably hot when she heard this. Because she came the whole way down from Nazareth to talk to this boy. But he answered and said to the ones who told him, who is my mother and who is my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Oh. See, we've lost these things. Here's one thing I always like. My parents, I wasn't in any competition for Jesus. He was number one. In our family, they were going to follow God no matter what Ed did or what Ed thought. And I'm so thankful that they did. I'm so thankful that I wasn't number one. Today, we made children first in the list in families. And I think God ate first. You know, the Bible says the husband is Christ, his head. And then it says the woman, her head is the husband. Didn't say her head's Christ. Oh, we don't like that. We're Americans. This is 50-50. No, it's not. Not in Christianity, ain't 50-50. Well, see, the men, first of all, we're in a lot of trouble because men don't fulfill theirs. Jesus ain't number one to them. And they're not living Jesus number one. So the wife don't have a head. And then the wife, they live in the American culture, and she has as much say as anybody else. I'll get down so you can't hit me. Now, you can't tell me. You can tell me and say, oh, I don't believe that's wrong, use this, or we are love, and you can say all you want about it. But America was a better place when we had that than this junk today we call Christianity and all this rot going on. See, if you love your family, you'll follow God and follow God's principles. Amen. If you love your family. We've lost it. We talk about love. We don't know what the word even got. You know, when I said, you know, the Lord woke me up, one of the things he talked to me was about the word. And he woke me up speaking, giving me scriptures concerning the word. And he talked about himself and what's written in scriptures in John. In fact, I'll go there. The Gospel of John starts off with it. Gospel of John, the first chapter, says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. In him who? The Word. In the Word was life. In the Word. And the life was the light of men. The Word was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. I want to read you over. Go over to Little John. First John. Little John. That was Big John there. We'll go over to First John. To Little John. And First John. John again opens up. The Lord was reading me scriptures the other morning. He brings more light to them than I am in. When he reads them, I don't know. There's just something. But it opens up here in the first verse. Listen, this is John writing. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which was we have seen, and our eyes, which we have looked upon, and he said, our hands have handled concerning the word of life. See, Jesus is the Word. He refers to Jesus as the Word. We handled the Word. We touched the Word. He's talking about Jesus. He calls Jesus the Word. He's the Word. He's the Word. You need to understand this. See, this is a big fallacy we have today. The church world, we have another gospel. Many people think they're Christians, and they ain't Christians because we don't today believe concerning the Word. Many people say, I believe in Jesus, and they don't believe most of what the Bible says. The Lord spoke to me on Thursday morning. He said, you don't believe the Word. You don't have faith in Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Christianity is based on the Word. It's on the Word. We don't get to pick and choose this stuff. And people have Christianity. It's all pick and choose. What I like out of it, do I like? No, he's the Word. He's the Word. They live, they saw, the Word is a person. These things that are breathed, they're spirit and life. This stuff's living. All it's become anymore is words on a page that people could just pick and choose whatever they like of it. If I like this, I don't like, and then they say, I'm a Christian. Do you believe the Word? Oh, yes, we believe. This is the big deal today. You believe the Bible is the Word of God. Well, we don't live it, but we believe it is. Who cares? You can't get saved believing that the Bible is the Word of God. You can't be saved doing that. You got to believe on the Word. How many people are going to come to that day when Jesus comes and they're still sitting here on the earth? It's going to be millions and millions and millions and millions in this nation thought they were with Jesus and they ain't with Jesus. They believe what they believed. But the Word, no, we can just pick and choose it and then use it at the same time. If I don't want to believe it, I don't have to. I'm going to be all right when it happens. No, it ain't going to be all right when it happens.
Right.
See, we've lost that. People years ago, this thing was sacred. I come from a generation of people. This was sacred. They didn't know a lot about things, but this was the Word of God. You didn't mess with it. Sinners would walk better than saints do today. Sinners, if you were a minister and walked into a crowd of sinners, they'd respect you. They wouldn't talk or do things that people, that Christians will do today in front of ministers. But then a lot of ministers over there, they don't live right anyhow, so it don't matter. There was no in those days. There was a respect. People didn't. Why? There was a thing that was. It was real to them. It's because when it was real in the church, and today it's not real in the church. I don't get to pick and choose out of this book the parts that I like or I don't like. I don't get to pick and choose. Not and go run around and tell people about Jesus because you ain't got no. You ain't got the Jesus of the Bible. He is the Word. I don't like this part. I don't like it said. This is, yeah, well, I don't believe this is right. I don't, you know, I've had people tell me, well, I think God didn't do right when he did this or he did that. And they're sitting there calling themselves Christians. I'm going to tell you what, they ain't going to be in heaven. God doing wrong. What are you believing on somebody that does wrong? Who ever heard such stupidity? We got this stuff today. People are not saying these kind of things. It's not Christianity. The Lord spoke to me a bunch of things. I'm not going to be talking about unless he tells me to. But I'm going to tell you what. He's downright serious about this stuff. He don't like what's going on. Because people are not treating the Word. And he said, what they do to the Word, they do to me. They're doing it to me. They're treating the Word like it's nothing. He said, then they say they believe on me. He said, they don't believe on me. They don't agree with the Word. They don't want... There's things that we might not understand or know about the Word, but I'm going to tell you, I ain't going to speak against it. God's right. I ain't going to say any different about it. I don't care if I don't understand it. I don't care if it don't make sense to me. God's right, and it'll just have to come to an understanding or shut up. That's where it's at. And I'm willing to do that because God's right. This is not some ordinary book. These are not ordinary words. These were breathed by God for you and me. These are God's life in it. God brings his revelation of who and what he is through these things. You can read. I'll tell you what, there's so many lousy Christian books out here, it's amazing. I'll tell you what. I almost never go to a Christian bookstore. I don't know why they call them that to begin with. Because they are so full of junk. I mean, you see, they got so much philosophy books and they are just filled of any junk you could think of. I mean, you go out and look at the stuff and they're in there and I'm thinking, dear God, give me a can of gas and some matches. We'll fix this whole thing up right here now. It does. I mean, you know, they think because they stick a Bible or two in between some stuff that it makes this stuff. It don't. It's terrible, the stuff that they put in there, you know. You know, you can buy your little Christian cards and stuff and things in there, but man, I was sitting there with, you know, 400 demon-possessed books sitting in there and stuff and men's philosophy and men's ideas on things and stuff. And, you know, all their counseling books. Well, how did all the counseling in the church help? Hasn't Christianity got great with all the Christian counseling today? I mean, people are just so darn godly, it's amazing. I'll tell you, just... Wouldn't you think that there'd be a half a brain in a church somewhere that people would think of all this stuff that we have thought is great and the church has degraded? How could the church degrade if this stuff was from God? I was smart enough to know it wasn't working. This can't be God. Whatever God reveals to me, it works. What he's revealed into my life, it's helped me. I don't understand. Somebody gets a revelation and it gets preached and people buy millions of their books and people become more carnal from a revelation from God? How did that happen? Jesus is the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
There's not a higher word. It's not a higher word. Hallelujah. How he's true. He's true. Hallelujah. He's so wonderful and great. I mean, now, I want you to say, I see you've spoken about Mary. I'm not degrading Mary. I mean, it is phenomenal what that woman went. And living in the time that she did, oh my God. But you know what? She was righteous in God's eyes. Why? She's walking the light she had. She's living in the middle of a mess. She's living in the middle of a mess. You know, I often think about it, Jesus, you know, he looked at the crowds. And here's the crowds. The only thing that they came for him most of the time for, it wasn't always about his teaching. They came to get healed. They wanted healed. They wanted something from him. And it's today, much of faith is taught today is about what you can get from God, not about getting God. No, faith's about getting God. It's about getting God. The getting stuff, if you got God, you get the stuff. I mean, that's the easiest thing. But the emphasis, and see, they wanted the healing. But then Jesus said, I teach in parables all the time so they don't understand. It's like, hold it. What's going on in this place? See, they're not after God. But he said this. They're like sheep without a shepherd. How did they get that way? Their leaders led them to that way. The church got where it is today by its leaders. Sheep without a shepherd. Everybody, you know, it's like in Israel. It said, you know, everybody just did see what seemed good in their own sight. That's Christianity in America. See, that's a Christian culture. You pick what you want, you know. Oprah Winfrey, my truth. You know, she does what the Buddhists do. The Buddhists, she'll pick truths from the Bible. She does. She'll say certain truths from the Bible. Then she'll overhear it. She's quoting one of these other Eastern religions. And she'll say something from one of those. It's just like when I went into the Buddhist temple and went into their library and it was all these different philosophy books, all these different ones. They had the Bible there. Oh, and they thought that was a philosophy that they could learn something from, but they weren't learning. They were mixed. It was all watered down and put in with all this other philosophies and all these other things that were written and all this stuff. And they're looking at all those things. That's the Church of America today. We don't see ourselves as that, but that's what it's become. There's a lot of philosophies that have gotten in, a lot of things. You know, back when the Beatles were big and the Beatles started getting involved in the Eastern religions, most people don't know this. See, I studied that. There was a bunch of church groups in America who sent their leaders to overseas to these Eastern countries to sit at the feet of some of these people. Lutherans, Presbyterians sent people to these places and sent them. Today, we have spirit-filled people learning from these. There's things we can learn. See, they sent people and they started, and it's infiltrated and it's got into the church. And people wonder how things got where they were. The leaders took them there. The leaders took people there. They started listening to other things. Jesus wasn't enough anymore. Jesus wasn't enough. This book we have here, God gave us and gave us the Holy Spirit to teach it to us. It's the life and the light. And I'm just going to say this to you. Anybody who is not following the light of the book is in condemnation right now. We read that. Jesus, he's the light and the life. There ain't nothing but condemnation. He said people, you don't find why the Bible, the scripture said, They hated the light. They followed darkness. There's a lot in Christianity. They hate the light. They bring up all this junk, and you don't have to repent. They hate the light. You know what the scripture tells us? That man comes to the light. He repents. That's what it says. See, repentance, you can't come to the light and without humbling yourself before God and say, God, you're right. I'm wrong. The light will always show you. See, this one, when they come along and teaching this sloppy grace today, and they're teaching this stuff, they're leading people. God is trying to bring people to ready themselves for the Lord's return. And many in the church are preaching messages that lead people into darkness. Don't examine yourself. We're having the identical ministry of John the Baptist today. See, the pattern never changes. Back in Noah's flood, Noah was the preacher of righteousness, telling people to get ready. There's going to be a flood. Oh, we come along, we have the Messiah's coming. How do you get ready for the Messiah? John has a ministry of repentance and a baptism of repentance. What is it today? The same ministry God will use. That's the church. See, the repentance ministry was to the Jew. They had a covenant with God. They needed to get right with God in their covenant to be ready for the Messiah. Was Israel ready for the Messiah? No. As nationally, oh, they had ones who got saved and ones who went, but the majority of the nation went off into darkness. Today, there's no different. The pattern is always the same. God gave revelations to the church through Kenneth Hagin. He gave him things to get the church ready. One of those things was repentance. Men need to get right with God. Man needs to get right with, get ready for the Messiah to come. That message is to the church. That is the number one message you need to hear. That's the number one message to the church is get ready. You're not going to reach the world when you ain't ready. If you ain't ready, you ain't reaching nobody else. Amen. It's getting ready. That's the number one message to us. I must get myself ready. That's the revelation was to the church. Kenneth Hagin's ministry was a John the Baptist ministry. It was to get the church ready for the return of Christ. Well, the church gets ready, the church reaches the world. That's what it does. I mean, it's about getting ready. This stuff hasn't changed. It's the same. But today, people have all the ministries this today, and it's a ministry. Hold it. What is the ministry to the church today? It ain't a new car, and it ain't a new house. Don't mean you can't have a new car, and you can't have a new house. You know, it's like Mike talking, you have all this stuff going on. As I said to Wanda, we just had a number of things just going on and that stuff, having to spend money on stuff, doing things, spend a lot of money. And now what I told her, I'm just so glad I can afford to pay for it. I said, I'm excited. Man, years ago, I wouldn't have been able to pay for it. And I said, now I can pay for it. Hallelujah. It's looking good. Hallelujah. You know, you're asked, are you going to have to borrow money? No, we don't need to borrow money. We'll pay it. Hallelujah. See, I'm excited. I can pay for it. Glory to God. And I ain't going, oh my God, but if we take the money out to do that, what about this? Hallelujah, those days are gone. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Hallelujah. See, I know I can live by faith. God will take care of me. I'm just so glad. And see, I'm glad to say, I've come to my place in my walk that I could. There was years I couldn't. And see, God wants to get the church right. He wants to get us right. Hallelujah. That's the things we work on us. Now, we want to keep an eye toward the world. God wants to use us toward the world. But see, we're running around trying to give the world our message. The church trying to give the world our message. And most of the church ain't ready. They ain't ready. They ain't ready for Christ. Trying to get people. Oh, we want to reach the world. We're going to have the seeker-friendly church. That's going to be the church. That's an unrepentant people. We're just going to change things. See, they got all this nutty stuff out here. That's not what it is. John the Baptist came to the covenant people and told them, you got to get ready. You ain't going to be able to see the Messiah. You got to get right. You need to repent. You need to see your condition. We don't have that in the church. People don't want to see their condition. We don't want to see, could I be messed up? Sure enough. Could I be missing it? Could I need, maybe I ain't walking right toward God that I need to? What is it in the church? What kind of Christianity we come to where the examination is stopped? You know, and then these Christians, they turn around, telling God, well, I'll give God my heart. I already done that. God has my heart. I mean, he's a child. What I got to give to him is my flesh and my mind. And that's the fight. That's the thing nobody wants to give. I can live like hell, but I'm saved on the inside. You can give your God to your heart every day and it won't change you one lick. If you got born again, he's already got that. What he wants is that lousy flesh of yours and mine, an unrenewed, flaky mind you got. When the flesh says, I don't quit sinning, I'm enjoying it. I'm having fun, let me alone. I don't like to admit that I'm wrong. Ah, get over it. Everybody else knows you are. Well, there's a truth. Hey, get out. It doesn't matter. We've all missed it. We all do. But you know what? It's about, see, this is the areas of living by righteousness. It ain't being perfect. It's knowing when you messed up and say, yep, I messed up. Yeah, man. Go on. But people can't, see, we have today, there's an arrogance in the church. That's why God started dealing with me in the area of humility. Because he said there's going to have to be a humility come to church. People ain't humble. They just go on and think, well, I'm saved, I'm all right, and I'm this, and I'm that. And he said, they never deal with themselves. And he said, so I can't deal with them. I can't reveal to them what I want to reveal to them. I can't show it to them. Because they won't listen. See, God put a voice out. His name, you know, John the Baptist, he put a voice, but were they listening? See, that's the whole thing. It don't matter if a voice comes. It don't matter if people even sit in a crowd. People can sit in a crowd today and listen. I know this for a fact. I know people over the years that, I remember going to different meetings and that stuff, that people would show up to meetings. And every time you'd show up at these meetings someplace, you'd have certain people that they have not changed. Over the years, I go, and they ain't changed one iota. They're as flaky as they were the first time you met them, and you go back and they're just as, and they sit under wonderful teaching, but they never hear any of it. It's all to try to straighten somebody else out, and I'm believing God for a new car, and I'm believing God for this, and I believe, see, why don't you believe God to get a right life? Why don't we believe God, I need changed. You know? I don't know about you. Are you 100% yielded to God? And I'm not talking about you. Your heart might want to go for God all the way. But how is that flesh thing and that mind doing? There's certain, you know, I find this all the time. God will start to deal with me in the area. And all of a sudden I see, yeah, there's a place over here that I'm sort of keeping to myself. One that I don't want to, you know, because here's what happens. Your flesh will get a fear. Well, what happens if I yield over into this area? What, you know what you start thinking? If I yield to it, I might lose something. See, I might. Oh, I know you never thought that. Well, what if I yield over here to that? What am I going to do? Am I going to lose? You know, I learned the things of rejoice with those who rejoice. You know, like people getting promoted over me. And I never, you know, when I was a sinner, I sure didn't rejoice with those who were rejoicing. No, I should have had that spot. They should have used me. And you know, the whole time it was. See, God would do things showing me. See, this was all part of growing up. The mature person was the one. The mature person wasn't the guy that got promoted. The mature person knew how to walk. Amen. And rejoice that one. Knew how to trust God. See, I didn't get that promotion. I should have got that money. I should have had that place. See, self-promotion. I gotta get into there. See, that's the only way I can get blessed. I'll tell you this. When I learned to rejoice with those who rejoice, I always got blessed. God would always bring money to me and do stuff for me all the time. It would always happen. Every time it would happen. Every time it would happen. See, God would promote Ed. Everybody wants promoted by men. We want to get in the limelight of men. I want to get in the limelight of God. I want to be promoted by God. Ain't no better boss around. I learned that when I was in Raymond, working in a grocery store, making minimum wage. And learned to be happy working for Jesus. And God promoted me, ended up bringing more money in than they could have ever paid me there. They'd have never paid me what the money started coming to me. I'd have never got that money. I don't think that probably my manager was making the money that I was making, getting in, was coming in to us. And then the Lord said, you don't need to work here no more. Now, I didn't leave them alone. The Lord said, okay, you leave. You go tell them, give them a 2-week notice and tell them, no matter what they say to you and what they offer you, you tell them you will not take the money. They can't get you to stay. He said, I want you to leave. So you got to learn to listen to God, because you know what? Sure enough, when I went, they wanted to give me promotion. You know, they want to keep you. Oh, you're the guy that's been doing all the work, and we've been promoting all our buddies. And they don't do nothing, and I need somebody that works. And you're a guy that works. They went as high as hiring three guys to take my place, and they couldn't do the job. All it took was one good worker, but today you're going to at least need three people to replace one good worker. Maybe a dozen. And those three guys, they didn't. All three of them, they didn't even last as much as 2 weeks on the job, and they left. And they couldn't hire. And a few months after I was gone, they fired my manager because he had done messed everything up. Do you know, God was using me to uphold that department while I was there. Now, I could have been just miserable and God like everybody else. Hallelujah. But God taught me to humble myself. And so I just encourage you in that. We're not going to lose anything by humbling ourselves. We're not going to lose anything. You know, that's why, be very careful concerning government and how you fuss and fight about things. Be very careful. Humble yourself. Let God deal with these. You know, is we need this. We need God. You know, the Bible says this, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I repay. You know why God ain't repaying in our government? Because the church keeps trying to repay. The church is fighting and fussing as much as the world does, trying to get there. Saying, God, you see what's going on? I'm going to let the vengeance in your hand because I do a bad job at the vengeance thing. I just get mad. And I'm not good. I'm not good at the vengeance stuff. I get in the flesh too easy. And so do you. You don't need to be in the vengeance department. Let God deal with things. See, and I tell you, I think we're going to see it. I think we're going to see it. People are going to say, well, hallelujah. God's working for us. We're walking, living, and he's one to raise up kings. See, in the Bible, I talked to the Lord about this, about raising up kings and take them down. Well, he hasn't been able to. Because man keeps trying to raise them up and take them down. Man keeps trying to run his part of the, and turn around and say to God, you know what? I'm going to get my hands out of this junk. I'm going to quit trying to figure this thing out. God, raise them up and take them down. People in positions. Lord God, there's people that need to be removed. But you know what? They need to be removed by God, not by the way man's thinking, a man's idea. And letting God work. And I just encourage you that. You know, we shouldn't be a people who are living under the stress. We live under stress because that's what we choose to do. Amen. Instead of saying, God, you know, I'm just going to submit to you. Hallelujah. Lord God, I need exalted in your kingdom, not in man's kingdom. Now, exaltation might not be. See, when you're talking about being exalted in God's kingdom, it's not like you think, oh, God's going to put me in the forefront. No, he might put you in the back. Because you know what? There might be a greater need for somebody in the back than there is up front. I often thought about this. Kenneth Hagin told the Lord, he had a front ministry. You know what he always told God? God, I'll just stay in the back where nobody's. Let me just go pray. I'll just pray. Nobody has to see me. I'll just do that. You put somebody else out there. He said, I won't be out there. I don't want to be out there. I'll just be in the back. I'll help anybody you need. They need help, you tell me. I'll just go help whoever you want. I don't want. But see, everybody today is, how can I get in the forefront? We see, we live in this American society. Everybody's going, we're all going to be president one day. It ain't scriptural and it ain't Christian. It's men wanting to exalt themselves. I don't need to be in the forefront. I need to be in God's position wherever he put me at. Amen. That's what we need. That's what I need to be in the place where God can use me according to his will. That place where he can bless me like he'd like to. Wouldn't it be awesome to be blessed in a place where they say you can't get blessed? Mm-hmm. And have God. See, the world sees the church just like the world. They see these ministries rolling in money and doing all this stuff, but it's just like the world. Again, they're doing exactly what the world does about money. They're in the promotion of money and, oh man, send us your money. If you send us money, God will bless you. So, and this and that thing. Let God bless you. The Bible says this, pray, you know, you pray in your closet, let God, in your secret, talk to God's secret and let him bless you openly. Now today it's all about, you ask everybody openly. Let the world stop and start to see, hey, hold it. How do these people get so blessed out here? How does God do it? How can his people out here, how can he, wow. Because they ask God. See, they need to. People need to see that. Everybody want to go, you know, I get to college, I'm going to get the best job on the block and all this kind of stuff, and it don't happen to them. They're all this idea. Everybody's trying to push ahead and get over the next guy. Let God promote you. We need some people in the forefront, God promoted. We've had all this men promotion, and it stinks. See, we need to get back and we preach the truth. It's not our job to change them. My job, number one, is to work about me. And your job's about you. You being ready for the return of Jesus. You getting ready. We're trying to get everybody else ready. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming back. Yes, he is. What's he coming back for? A church without spot or wrinkle. People that aren't wrinkled. He's coming back for righteousness. He's not coming back for the perfect. But he is coming back for righteous. He is coming back for that. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, what I want to do is trust him more. I think I've had my hands in too many things in life that would have been better if I'd have let him do it. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We just want to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the major thing. Father, today, Lord God, in this place, hallelujah, we are here, your people. And Lord God, I do dream that these people hunger and thirst for righteousness. I think that they're so hungry and thirsty. Lord God, their desire for more of you. Father, all of us are on different levels and different places in our walk. Lord God, different callings to different things. But Lord God, none without significance. None without significance, Lord God. People sit in places, Lord God, that may not look like much, hallelujah, or some that look great, but may not be near as much as people think they are. But Father God, if anything all of us can be in the place that we stand in is humble towards you, Lord God, submissive towards you. What do you want with our lives? What's your desire? Lord God, we're living in a crucial time. And if anything we need to be is vessels that could be used by you in this time. That's your will. Lord, there are so many that are going off into an eternity without Christ. So many leaving this earth. So many Christians are not ready to meet you, Lord God. Lord, there's such disarray as Jesus, you would say among the crowds today the same way that your heart would go out to them because you'd say they're just sheep without shepherds. There's so many that are in that category. Sheep without shepherds. And Father God, we sure do need a change around, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, to examine ourselves and let you, Lord God, work in us. Lord, you have no evil intent toward us. You don't have some bad toward us. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. There's no shadow of turning in you. Hallelujah. Lord God, you don't call us to something to hurt us. You call us to something to bless us. And hallelujah. But Lord, not just bless us, but to bless others. Because Lord God, when we're blessed, oh my words, when we're blessed. And Lord, I thank you that over the years, that Lord God, I had the fortune enough to get in the presence of people that were blessed by God, who blessed my life. Hallelujah. Changed my life. That I saw in them, hallelujah, something that was more valuable, hallelujah, more precious, Lord God, than what man could offer and what they... Lord God, that preciousness that they had as a Christian in their walk of faith towards you, Lord God. Their love towards you. And Father God, we in the same manner want to do that for people. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to do that, that people see. Hallelujah. That there's a people out here that aren't just going along, just we're not trying to make it, Lord God. We've made it. We're your children. Hallelujah. We've arrived. Hallelujah. Blessed with every spiritual blessing. We're not trying to get a hold of more. There's no more to get a hold of. Hallelujah. We just may need to know more about some things, but it isn't because it isn't ours. Hallelujah. And I just want to say thank you. I thank you, Lord God. Father, you know what each one here today, what they need and the working you need to do in their life. You know. And Father God, the light of your word's enough. Jesus is enough. I thank you the Holy Spirit in them is enough to bring a cross and bring the light that they need, to open them up, Lord God. And Father God, Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Lord God. We desire that you bring us into the place of humility. So, Lord God, your ministry can be exalted in the church. Hallelujah. So, Lord God, that you raise us up into the places that you have set desired for us, the places that you, Lord God, have designed before the foundation of the world that we were supposed to step into, that were set specifically for us. And Lord God, that's what we want to do. Lord God, Lord, I commit myself to be happy in whatever it might be or you called me to. It doesn't matter. I'm going to do it with joy. I'm going to do it with gladness, no matter if it seems like a much. But Lord God, I tell you what, Lord, Lord, you don't have to set me up in the forefront of things. You don't have to at all. Lord, I just as well serve you in anything you want me to do, just as well. I just appreciate, Lord God, so much that you saved me. Hallelujah. Lord God. Lord, I'm not going to spend eternity with the damned. What a phenomenal thing. And Lord, you saved my family. And Lord, and all that, you know, and it still blows my mind. You said I was obedient and did what you told me to do and walked in it. I don't even know what all that was about. You said you're going to bring my brothers and sisters in over that. Well, I don't know what anything great I did. I don't know what great thing it was that I did, but you said it was great, whatever it was, just because it was obedience to you. Lord, we're not trying to produce fruit. Lord, I pray that wisdom comes to each one in here today, that they don't have to perform some great feat for you. That just doing your will, whatever it might be, it might seem awfully small, it's a treasure to you, and you will bless them for it. Hallelujah. Oh, it's not. Oh, Lord God. Lord, take these cultural things out of us of the idea about getting what getting ahead is. Oh, let's get ahead in your kingdom. Let's get ahead, Lord God. Lord, I would love that every one of them would hear, Lord God, and brother, to know, Lord God, that all their brothers and sisters are going to be in the kingdom, that everyone would know that, that everyone, Lord God, just because they obeyed you, just because they do what you told them to do. Hallelujah. How could it be any greater? Hallelujah. And I just want to thank you. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you this day, Father God, that your hand's on us. I am just so thankful, Lord God, because your goodness and your mercy and kindness, I'm just so thankful. Hallelujah. Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Hallelujah. I could see that. The Spirit's saying this, don't look to the right or to the left. Looking straight ahead. For I've given you a gaze, says the Lord, of looking. And much in this day and time has tried to pull eyes away, tried to get eyes to look over here, to look over there, to look at this. Oh, and even to measure yourself against another and to look. Say, no, 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 I haven't called you to that. I have called you to me. I've called you, number one, to fellowship with me. I've called you number one. It isn't out there to get someone else. I want you, says the Lord. I want you in fellowship with me and walking with me because I want to show myself to you. I want you to see me in a way you have never seen me before and know me. For I'm not against you. I haven't worked against you. I've been here all the time. I'm waiting. And the Lord says this, and I'm still waiting and I'm still calling. Come. Come to me. All you that are weary and heavyweight, I'm going to give you rest. Oh, many have put on yokes that were not their own, but I have a yoke that is easy. Hallelujah. For I'm the carrier of that yoke, says the Lord, for I'm the one that bears it with you. For I have bared your yoke on the cross, your yoke of sin, and the yoke I've given you today is the yoke of life. And I'm telling you to put that life on, and put it on, and wear that great grace upon you, and walk in it, and come to me, and to sweet fellowship, and know me as I know you, says the Lord. For these are the days and the time of a walk that men have only dreamed to walk in. And I will give it to men who will come. Those who come and desire this walk, oh, will walk in a place that men have not known before. Because now I'm readying my people for heaven. I'm readying them because it's the days of stepping over. It's the days of the church leasing. Yes, yes, and I'm getting people ready for heaven. And I will get you to the place, hallelujah, where you will just be a step across into heaven. It will be as normal to you to go to heaven. It'll be as normal for you to walk with me. It'll be as normal for you to talk with me. Hallelujah. For I am preparing my people for this very hour and very time. Hallelujah. This is why I'm readying my people. Hallelujah. Getting them ready. Hallelujah. And ready beyond measure. Hallelujah. For the glory that shall be revealed in them. Hallelujah. For you'll be stepping when you leave this earth into great glory. And I desire to prepare you for that. For that greater glory. Hallelujah. That it won't be a shock to you. It'll be like breathing in fresh air that you have known. It's like standing on the top of the mountain. I will take you there. And you will see afar off. And you will see many things. And much will be revealed. And you will know and understand. Hallelujah. You will not step across into the place of unknowing. You will step across into the place of God of knowing. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 And he wants you to know this. He is forgiving. Oh, he is so forgiving. And not only is he forgiving, he knows how to forget. Hallelujah. And he forgives. Hallelujah. Oh, and you call upon him and he'll respond to you quickly. He'll respond to you quickly. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, you may be going through things and you have gone through things and walked in places and you wonder what's going on. Oh, walk with me. Walk with me. There's great victory ahead like you have never seen before in your life. There's great victory ahead that I prepared for my people. Hallelujah. Just come forward and walk in it. Just come forward. Hallelujah. Great victory that you will see with your eyes and you will walk in and you will know. Hallelujah. Oh, and you'll rejoice and be glad. Hallelujah. You'll say these words, I am so glad I stayed the course. I am so glad I stayed the course. I am so glad I stayed the course. Oh, because the victory and the glory is so great. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. He is so merciful. He is so merciful. He is so merciful. Hallelujah. 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 There's some of you, you're standing and walking exactly where you need to be at this hour and time. You're doing, whether it's working or doing, exactly where He's called you to. But see, He wants you to come to know that because at times you get looking, should I be here? Should I do this? Should I do that? He doesn't want that for you. He wants you to know where you belong right now. As he said to you to do, to turn to the right. And he's saying this. There's some of you need to make a change. Some need to make a change. But, wait. Don't just go make that change. Just don't go make that change. Hold it till you know what that change is. Even if you're in the wrong place right now and standing in the wrong place, don't just hurry up and run off and go do something else. Stay. Don't move till you know. Don't move till you know. Hallelujah. You see, it comes down to this. All of us just need to know. You need to know if you're in the right place and you need to know if you need to make them a change. But don't just run off just because you sense a change. Wait till you know it's time to make that change. Wait. Be patient. Hallelujah. Sometimes, and this is the Spirit saying this, sometimes when the Lord wants you to make a change, it will take a long time. A preparation time and a time for you. Hallelujah. And many times it's not just for you, it may be for others. Also, your family. Two abrupt changes may disrupt much that may hurt, not just you, but others. So wait till you know the exact time. Be patient. Hallelujah. And you will know. You'll know when it's time to go. You'll know when it's time if you make a change. And you'll know if you're not supposed to. You will know. Hallelujah. If he hasn't said anything to you, just hold. Hold. Hold where you're at. Hold where you're at. If nothing's been said, hold. Hold where you're at. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, this is me, but I learned a good thing from Kenneth Hagin. And I tell you what, I proved it out over the years. He said this. He said, sometimes God, you know as much about what he's talking about as what does he don't say as what he says. If he hasn't said anything to you, just stand where you are. He hasn't said anything, just stand where you are. Just stand. Be patient. He doesn't want you to get any kind of worry. He doesn't want to get you over there where your mind's thinking all kind of stuff and things. God wants you to do something. He knows how to get it across to you. He knows how to get you from place from A to B to C to D, wherever it is it needs to go, whatever it might be, or not go at all. Hallelujah. He knows. Hallelujah. Rest. That is the place of hearing. The place of hearing is rest. You find yourself and your mind's going a lot, well, that shows one thing. You're out of the rest spot. Hallelujah. Because God ain't directing you through your mind, anyhow. It's your heart. And your heart has the Spirit of God in it. And he will never take you over to the place that will drive you, will the turn bring you into unrest. He don't take you there. In the midst of trouble, he'll lead you to rest. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Get a smile on your face. Hallelujah. Speak words. God will show me what to do. If I need to change, he'll show me what. If I don't need to change, whatever it is, he'll show me. Hallelujah. He's in me. He knows how to get a hold of me. I'm one of his sheep and I hear his voice. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And he'll direct me and he'll lead me in the path that he's called me to. Hallelujah. See, get happy about it. Hallelujah. Get happy about it. Glory to God. Don't fret. Don't worry. You have a good God. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 The biggie is don't make abrupt changes quickly. Wait to hear. Wait to hear. Wait to hear. The Lord told Kenneth Hagin this, I'd rather have you be slow to change than do it too quickly and get out ahead of me. He said, well, you don't see where I'm going and what I'm doing. You're out ahead doing it. He said, I'd rather you be slow. Hallelujah. That patience bit, I'll tell you. You know, it always comes down to this thing. Hallelujah. Patience. Humility. All them fun words. Hey, they're wonderful things. Do you know? Hey, anybody gets spiritually mature, they're the big things in their life. Patience and humility. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're growing up. We're growing up, folks. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I'll quit meddling here and let Mike meddle.